You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Caveman's Club. Now, here is Dr. Meyer.
Radio is great because the words you hear stimulate your imagination to create pictures. Today's radio image is the caveman. Do you see a caveman in your imagination? Does he have a club in his hand, a strong club to beat down his opponent? Listen to the following dialogue between a husband and wife and see if you can figure out what the club is for this modern caveman.
Hi, honey. I had the greatest trip to the mall.
There is no such thing as a great trip to the mall.
Wait a second. Really? I got Susie the shoes she needs.
You what? Don't you remember the blow-up we had the last time you went off and bought something without our having talked about it first?
Good grief, that was ages ago. Besides, I apologize. We supposedly made up. You know Susie needs new shoes for school. Anyway, I got them on sale, so your precious money ahead.
Oh, man, I've heard that line before. You keep on doing this, you keep on doing this, you keep grinding away at me. Your being sorry just doesn't cut it.
You are absolutely impossible.
Thanks to Phyllis Wallace for speaking the lines of the wife as I spoke the lines of a typical husband. Phyllis is the host of the syndicated radio program Woman to Woman. Each week, Phyllis and her guests explore different aspects of modern life from a Christian perspective. Phyllis, thanks for joining us today. And now I ask you, listeners, what was the club that the man swung in that conversation? The club was unforgiveness. Even though the husband had forgiven his wife the last time they had that argument, he hadn't let go. Resentment about her spending habits kept festering in his soul. He hung on to his feelings just as if he were a caveman gripping a club. And when his wife presented him with an opportunity, he pulled out that old incident and clobbered her with unforgiveness. Next question. Can the wife turn the tables and club the caveman? Scene 2 in today's melodrama.
You always do this. You come home from work, you plop down, your body's here, your mind comes in about 2 hours later, and you don't give us the time of day.
Well, I guess you're right. I'm sorry. Is there anything I can do to help you?
If you have to ask, you don't care.
Thanks again, Phyllis. I mean, thanks for the role-playing, not for snapping at me. You see, wives can act like cave women, just as husbands act like cave men. Now, these two dialogues were about relatively small things. There are far more serious things that can destroy relationships and devastate souls. Things like abuse, addiction, adultery, and abandonment. However, both the big things and the small things have to be dealt with in your own individual mind and heart. You could do that in two ways. On the one hand, you can hang on to the wrong that was done to you and the hurt that you feel. If that's what you choose to do, resentment and hate will become a poison running through your caveman's veins. You'll be so ready for revenge that you'll keep gripping that club, ready to swing it at the slightest provocation. Your focus will be on the ills of the past, not the possibilities of the future. On the other hand, you could forgive. You could put the club away. If you do that, the result will be that you'll open new possibilities for your relationship to grow deeper and your love to mature. That's the best way for marriage or for any relationship. This way, the way of forgiveness, as opposed to the dead end of resentment and hate and the desire for revenge. This way of forgiveness, choosing to put the club down, releases the pain and hurts of the past and opens better possibilities for the future. The possibility of a better future is available to you because God has chosen to forgive you for your sins against Him. In his wonderful book called The Art of Forgiving, Lewis Smedes asks, "Does God forgive because He is pressed by some law that obligates Him to forgive? Or does He forgive because something inside bends Him toward grace instead of revenge?" The answer is built into the question. God is not obligated by anything outside His own heart. He forgives because He wants to. And He wants to because He knows that the possibilities for the future are much brighter for both of us if He says yes to forgiving. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. "Get rid of your bitterness, hot tempers, anger, loud quarreling, cursing, and hatred. Be kind to each other, sympathetic, forgiving each other as God has forgiven you through Christ." Doesn't forgiveness mean that you approve of the other person's conduct? No, not at all. Forgiving the wrong does not make you an accomplice. Rather, it shows that you believe that what was done was wrong. If you condoned it, you wouldn't have to forgive it, would you? Another question, does forgiveness mean that you excuse the wrong? No. In both of our dialogues, the husband or wife could have let it go and not made a big deal out of those little incidents. Forgiveness is not excusing wrong. Forgiveness acknowledges that sin has consequences, and some consequences of sin can't be winked at. For example, many husbands and wives have made excuses for their alcoholic spouse. Excusing serious sins doesn't help the person or the relationship. Still another objection to putting down the club. Doesn't forgiveness mean I don't matter? He or she can get away with anything they want. I'm just a doormat. Victims of abuse often have low self-esteem. Forgiveness does not mean that you continue to expose yourself to abuse. Calling a hotline and getting out of an abusive relationship is not unforgiveness. Forgiveness is something else. One more reason to balk at forgiveness. Doesn't forgiveness depend upon an apology from the person who wronged you? Not necessarily. Forgiveness is something that goes on in your head and heart. It's about your relationship to the God who has forgiven your sins. Jesus says, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Furthermore, if you wait for an apology, you're surrendering control of your feelings to the whims of the one who has hurt you. Why be hurt more? It is true that the person who has wronged you needs to repent. Whether he does that or not is between him and God. It's great when a person offers a sincere apology, but that is not a prerequisite for forgiveness. So, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness means putting away the club of unforgiveness because God has given you a better future than you had before you received His forgiveness. With such a great future given to you through God's forgiveness, you don't want to dwell upon past sins and hurts, but you'd much rather move forward in your relationship with the person who's hurt you. That move forward starts when you do the godlike thing and choose to forgive. To quote Lewis Smedes again, Forgiving is the key to the entire Christian agenda. Christ himself said that if we don't forgive people what they do to us, we cannot expect God to forgive us for what we do to him. And did he not himself forgive just about every sorry sinner who came his way on the spot, no questions asked? What you see in that person is a reflection of yourself. Before you get too self-righteous, remember that you too are a sinner. You've not only sinned against God, you've also wronged others. You and that troublemaker look much the same in the sight of God. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for both of you. The only reason you've got a great future is because the Holy Spirit has given you faith that God sent Jesus to pay the price for your sins. Wouldn't it be great if you'd be so motivated by what God has done for you that you'd forgive the person who wronged you? And wouldn't it be great to put the past behind you and move on to a better future? Forgiveness, you see, opens the way for reconciliation. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. If one person chooses to do the Christ-like thing and forgive, but the other person keeps on acting like a caveman, hand on the club, ready to swing at the slightest provocation, there could be no true reconciliation, and the future is not as bright as it could be. The difference between forgiveness and reconciliation has important consequences. If your relationship is hurting because of abuse, or addiction, or adultery, or abandonment, please seek competent Christian counseling. Forgiving the one who has hurt you will not cause reconciliation, but forgiveness is where it has to start. Whether your relationship has been troubled by big things or by little things, the little things that are so common in every marriage, you've got to start someplace. The place to start toward a wonderful reconciliation is by forgiving the one who hurt you, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. I'm sorry I flew off the handle this morning about your buying those shoes. I've taken some time to think it over. I've cooled down, and I know Susie needs the shoes, and I know you want to take care of her. I'm sorry. Forgive me?
Darling, when you even ask, will you forgive me, it makes a soft place in my heart. And isn't that what our faith is all about? I guess I'll just have to learn to tell you the ways you can help me. Maybe it's not as obvious to you as I had thought. Do you forgive me for snapping at you?
And he said, yes. A real life husband and wife would kiss and make up. And reconciled friends would celebrate their restored relationship. For any and all of you who are tempted to club one another, go back and deal realistically with your hurts and resentments. Go, I pray, with a resolve to practice forgiveness and to strive for reconciliation. It's not easy, I know, but God sends you forth with his motivation to forgive and with his help to reconcile. In the words of the poet Yaroslav Vida, God says, go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Here you learned how much I love you, what I can cure. Here you heard my dear son's story. Here you touched him, saw his glory. Go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.